Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I'm speaking with Elizabeth and with Andrea, and we're talking about sex trafficking. We're going to really give them opportunity to really help us see how that does tie into modern day slavery. But just before we go there, if you all could help us with something else, and that is making that distinction between sex trafficking and human trafficking.
Well, certainly it all falls underneath that same umbrella. However, when we're looking at human trafficking, by definition, we're looking at actually using essentially the modern day slavery mentality. So we're looking at, for example, in this area, we have very large peach fields, Johnson, all that. So we're looking at migrant workers. So they come into our country and, you know, they have like a visa or whatever, and they find someone to go work for. And then their visas or what have you are rounded up. And they're like, okay, well, if you work for us for this, you know, forgive me, I'm not a farmer. If you work for this harvest, I'm sure that's not the right term. And you produce this much, then you'll get this back. But that mark keeps moving. And the abuse starts in, and they're, oh, we're not going to get your visa back. You're not going to get your passport. You're not going to get this, that, and the other. And it's just constant work. And that goalpost just constantly moving. And a lot of them are very afraid to speak up, understandably so, for fear of deportation or whatever it is that, you know, or they don't even know that the help is out there, that they have rights in this country. It's very sad.
It seemed like I was reading an article fairly recently that talked about how other countries in other parts of the world had already been working on some trade agreements that would begin to put some restrictions on these farm owners and how they could treat their farmers, their migrant workers. But with the U.S. and Canada, it's only been fairly recently that they've begun, or I guess I could say we've begun as a nation, to really properly address this.
I think there's a lot of a lot we don't know about it. And I, you know, there's honestly a lot that we don't, like Cumbie Center and our state doesn't know about it, because it's such a pervasive issue in some cases that it's really hard. We feel like we're kind of playing catch up in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really that surprised to hear that. I think when you start elevating off of the ground level up, it becomes a lot harder to understand kind of what's happening at the ground level, the more of a disconnect there is. So, and especially if they, you know, if there aren't a lot of people right now lobbying for migrant worker rights and things like that, it can be really difficult to broach those issues and those topics, I think.
Absolutely. So one thing's for sure, whether it has to do with abuse of migrant workers or abuse of people's bodies sexually, we have a lot of abuse going on. And I'm just curious, when it comes to the sex trafficking, do you find that is it primarily females who are being drawn into this, or do you find quite a percentage also male victims?
It's kind of like the domestic violence thing. Yeah. So there is really no discrimination. However, I think I speak for myself personally and Andrea, I'm sure we see and hear more about the female victims because that is a very large quantity of the victims that are out there. However, there is studies that are out there about like the younger males and that drive for that. I apologize. I don't actually have those numbers with me. And it is something that I would be interested in looking at the actual numbers and percentages of. But I do know that there is a huge demand for young, particularly young boys like 6 to 8 years old.
Pre-prepossessed. I can't even say that word.
Prepossessed. So what about this now? You mentioned the boys, and we talked a little bit earlier about the fact that when it comes to domestic violence, we can definitely see that there are female and male perpetrators.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to sex trafficking, automatically, I'm just going to be honest with you, when it comes to ideas about perpetrators, to my mind, immediately comes males. So my question is, are there female perpetrators when it comes to sex trafficking?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And so one of the common misconceptions is that it is just male. However, you get in, and Andrea did a wonderful job explaining it earlier, of that relationship that comes between the victim and the trafficker. So you are what's known as the bottom girl. So you essentially, I guess the best way to, like a madam kind of a deal, you're going out, and the female is actually going out and recruiting other females, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So they feel so secure, and they've become so entrapped in this world, and just not even recognizing that they're being victimized, but now hurt people hurt. So they're not seeing that they're on issue, they're on trauma that they're dealing with. So in return, they see nothing wrong with going out and seeking another life to destroy with that. And that's how we just see this entrenchment and like cycle of trauma and violence. And it just continues.
Yeah, because if you're, you know, if you become basically a bottom, then you're starting to get some money. You're starting to get some free reign, like they trust you, you know, you're not having to turn as many tricks, like, or you're the person they're paying high dollar for, you know. So there's some stature with becoming a bottom, basically.
You're not having to actually do a lot of times the physical, for lack of a better term, dirty work. You're not, like Andrea said, you're not out turning tricks, you're not sleeping with men, you're not, or women, you're just now, you're recruiting. So in that life and in that entrenchment of this trafficking world, that is seen as some sort of power that they're gaining back to themselves. And like we'd mentioned before, it's all abuse only occurs because there's this thirst for power and control by the abuser or the trafficker or whatever, or the one that hires these migrant workers. There's some sort of gain for them that they can only get if they take power away from someone else.
And also money. Like the more victims they have to traffic, the more money they're going to make. And, you know, they, in some cases, these kids do not get a lot of rest. You know, they have them on drugs that are uppers, and then they give them drugs that are downers, because they want to keep them basic. They want their product working as much as possible. So.
Wow. So when it comes to the sexual part of it, again, we see what we see on TV. We read about what we read about in the news, whether it's paper, magazine, you name it. And again, we're kind of trained to just assume it's going to be older male customers, clients, whatever they're called, with female victims.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as females, older females, with other females or younger boys?
Absolutely, 100%. And it kind of goes back to, this is the underbelly. This is the stuff that nobody wants to talk about. It's uncomfortable knowing that the masters is here, the azaleas are in full bloom, and so is human trafficking and sex trafficking, unfortunately. There's usually some sort of, if you get down to the psychology of those who would actually purchase sex from someone else, if you look at it, there's usually some sort of stigma of what they're wanting, meaning a female who is very high upper echelon, has a very high-paying job, a lot of esteem in her community, might actually be lesbian. And that goes against everything that she has built in her community with her husband or what have you, whatever that looks like. So this individual is going to seek out the service somewhere else to fulfill that need. Again, that's that power and control driving the industry. Unfortunately, as long as that is there, we're going to have a problem. It's just how do we like help those that feel like that's the only way is to hurt somebody else.
And so right now you mentioned that we have the Masters Golf Tournament going. There's a good chance that a lot of the types of people we're talking about, the victims we're talking about, have been brought to the Augusta area for this purpose.
Yes,
this
absolutely.
Time of year.
Mm-hmm.
100%. Wow. Yeah. And I was mentioning earlier off air with back in the day, it used to be called the cocaine corridor, I-20. You could run, you know, kilos and kilos of coke. Now you can run hundreds of human bodies because you can sell if we're looking at it from the drug standpoint, as a drug dealer, I can sell a kilo of coke once. I have a human body. He or she can perform sexual acts for a very long time until essentially their bodies give out. So you can resell and resell and resell. So that's why now we're not seeing it as a cocaine corridor. We're seeing it as the human trafficking lane. And it's horrifying to know.
Is that where we get the phrase modern day slavery from?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Although there's not those physical chains that you would think. And oftentimes there might be. It is. They are bound to this life. They are bound to their abuse.
Our guests, Elizabeth and Andrea, sharing with us some of the less pleasant realities of life we need to know. And they'll be sharing with us some things that we can do about this. Also, they're going to be sharing with us some information about an upcoming conference that I'm really going to want a lot of you to consider attending. So be ready to take down some information about that. We'll be right back.